I guess the research I'm going to be talking about here today is some stuff that we did over a 3-year period, and I'll go on to some stuff that we're continuing on with at the moment. So what we're looking at is how the cotton plant dealt with in terms of plant water relations on a range of different soil types. The research was done at and around the Australian Cotton Research Institute in Narrabri, New South Wales. The medium and the heavy soil types were on the research station. The light soil type was on a farmer's field in close proximity. We had the three soil types grouped in a close proximity to try and minimise the climatic variability within years between the soil types. And so what we had what we're calling a light soil type with a low plant available water capacity, very high sand content, especially for the soils around where we are. There's not actually that much cotton grown on that sort of a soil in the Namoi region where we are. The medium and the heavy soil types are more common. Then we had the medium with the high water holding capacity, a lot more clay. It's a more alluvial soil near the river. And then we had the high water holding capacity, the heavy soil. And that's a pretty common soil type around where we are, very high clay content. All of the irrigation on all these soils, including the light soil, was by furrow irrigation. So you can imagine that on the light soil in our summer, they were having to put the water on fairly often. To produce a range of plant water stress plant water stresses, we had two irrigation treatments. We either had normal irrigation, which was just by the farmer practice, or we skipped two irrigations at and around flowering. So that's where the majority of the leaf water potential measurements were taken during the lead up, the stress period, and then the recovery from the stress period in the deficit treatment and over the same period in the fully irrigated treatment. So we measured pre-dawn and midday leaf water potentials. I'm only presenting the midday data here today. We had measurements of soil moisture just with a neutron probe down to 1.2 metres. We were recording plant growth, and also we did some machine pick yields at the end of the season. So if we just have a quick look at the yields first, the yields are really just a consequence of what we did. The main measurements are the leaf water potential measurements that we took during the actual period. But if we have a look at the yield in kilograms per hectare here to give you some indication of the sort of the potential of the soil types, you can see that they've all got a potential of up there around sort of 2,000 plus kilograms per hectare. There was some rain interference during the 2003-04 season that I present there, so you can see that there's not much difference there in terms of the fully irrigated versus the stressed in that season. The medium soil type in the 2004-05 and 2005-06 seasons, the reason you're not picking up any differences, and in some cases there that the stressed is higher, is we had some management issues post the period where I'd imposed stress, and that sort of compromised the yield values, but the values I'm going to present in terms of plant water relations weren't compromised by that. But you can see there, I guess the biggest thing was the 2005-06 season. That's when we had the most extreme climate over the course of the experiment. You can see in the heavy soil type, the skipping the two irrigations and the effect that had in terms of yield from 2,300 down to sort of 750 kilograms per hectare. That photo of that plant there is one of the stress plants from that plot. You can see that it put on a bit of fruit, stopped, finished up, and then started trying to grow a top crop right at the end of the season. So they were very small plants and very highly stressed. So if we move across to the plant water relations measurements, I've expressed the soil water holding capacity as fraction of transpirable soil water across the top to normalise it across the three different soil types, so we can have a bit of a look at the three soil types on the same axis and just in the pressure chamber readings down the side. So you can see the light soil type across the three seasons and across both of the irrigation types had, it was quite interesting. It was a fairly flat sort of response, which I wasn't really expecting. I was expecting it to be a much more severe response than the other two soils. You can see the other two soils are relatively similar. The medium soil type getting more stressed than the heavy soil type. in that. You can see with the medium and the heavy soil types that around sort of the where they're crossing the 2 megapascal sort of indicator of where the plants are going into stress, sort of in between the 0.5 and 0.6 fraction of transferable soil moisture, so what you might be expecting. So you can see that we're getting differences in soil type, differences with the soil type. So really highlighting the need to establish specific soil moisture stress responses for the different soil types in terms of plant water stress and how the plants are developing water stress on those things. But I guess the real thing is, what was the climate doing to those soil types across the 3 years? And this is what we're pulling out of this data, because you saw some values there that were highly stressed. So if we just have a look at the 2005-2006 season, it looks quite different, especially in terms of the lighter soil type. You see we've got these values in here where there's still a lot of freely available soil moisture, but we're well below this sort of 2 megapascal. You got the plants in severe stress in some cases, even though there's a lot of available moisture. Now, as I said earlier, this was the season in which we had the highest evaporative demand, and these values in here, especially these ones down here, correspond with high evaporative demand days. So obviously just looking at the soil type isn't going to do what we need to do. So we need to get some functions in relation to the evaporative demand across the soil types as well. So the evaporative demand is varying both within and between the seasons, and quite difficult to interpret the variation in it. So we're doing some further research looking at the effect of evaporative demand across the whole Australian cotton industry, across the regions. So this is just a map of Australia, obviously, in the cotton regions. If we just concentrate on the existing cotton regions, the work I was just talking about then was concentrated here in the Namoi Valley. But the work that I'm doing at the moment, we've got sites at the Namoi Valley, we've got sites at Emerald, and we had sites at a place called Dirranbandi, which is just here near St George. So we've got quite good geographical spread. It's quite difficult at the moment to get sites in the western sort of area of Australia due to the drought. There's not much water and not much cotton in that makes doing the research slightly more difficult. So if we have a look at Emerald, Dirranbandi and Narrabri, there are long-term average pan evaporation rates during the season. So this is sort of September, which would be an early planting in Emerald, through to February, late February, sort of peak boll period. You can see here that the Emerald one starts quite high but levels off or gets lower than the other sites in terms of pan evaporation during the season. A lot of that's to do with late cloud cover in Emerald. Here you've got the Dirranbandi site, sort of starts intermediate between the others, and you get very high evaporation rates, weekly evaporation rates sort of 70 millimetres a week and higher. So this is only average. In peak years you'll get much higher than that. So you get high evaporation rates, and Narrabri sort of starts low, the Namoi, and ends up intermediate. So we've got measurements happening on all three of those sites. So we started this research in sort of the 06-07 season. It's actually continuing at the moment. We've got crops in the ground. The research is actually ahead of me at the moment because it's 3:30 tomorrow morning in Australia, so it's all going quite well. So I guess, how are we going to pull this work together, and how are we going to use the results of these couple of experiments that we've been running? We're going to try and use it in the within the AusCOT growth model, the Australian cotton growth model that Brian Hearn developed. So the model uses a soil moisture stress index approach and to modify plant growth on a daily basis. So we're going to try and modify some of the components within that model to accurately represent different soil types. The model was mainly developed on vertisol soils around in the Namoi Valley. So just try and modify the model so it's perhaps slightly more broadly applicable. And then we use that model in terms of simulation runs of yield across the industry, and also in terms of the effect of climate and potentially the effect of climate change in terms of modelling responses. We also use it in terms of practical output for farmers through a program called Hydrologic, which was put out to the Australian industry. Hydrologic is a program that uses the current weather and then historical weather files, current soil moisture, and some indication of plant growth in terms of fruiting numbers and leaf area. And you put that in at a point, and then it uses historical data from that point forward to look at the consequences in terms of yield for your irrigation decisions and yield and maturity, determining next irrigation date and how you might irrigate with limited amounts of water. And you can also use it in post-season in terms of benchmarking decisions for what you should have done, how perhaps you could have applied your water differently. So I guess in conclusion, the soil type has a large effect, obviously, on the type of stress experienced by the plants. Strong indications of high evaporative demand being a strong factor in determining the leaf water potential, even under low soil moisture deficits. And again, that's sort of the research that's ongoing across the industry. We're investigating the evaporative demand, and we're developing functions to account for these differences in terms of soil type and evaporative demand. I'd just like to really acknowledge Ross Gregory, who provided the technical assistance for the soil type work. And also, it's fallen off here, but Paul Hawkins, whose property I did the light soil type research on, and acknowledge CRDC and the Cotton CRC for funding the project. Thank you.
Thank you. We have time for questions, a couple, 3 minutes.
Right. Yeah, we determined that ourselves. To get the top level, we went in about 24 hours after an irrigation to get the full profile point. To get the lower limit of the crop, what we did at the end of a couple of the seasons, we put in water exclusion tents. Didn't defoliate any of the crop, and then just let the crop draw down and did graphometrics on the drawdowns.